Welcome to Better Sex, where you get the information and inspiration to create and enjoy your best possible sex life. Join your host, sex therapist Jessa Zimmerman, as she brings you expert guests, helpful tips, knowledge, and strategies to improve your intimate relationships. And now, your host, Jessa Zimmerman.
Hey, welcome back to the Better Sex Podcast. This is Jessa, and I'm glad you're tuned in. Glad you're joining me today. This is one of my favorite kind of podcasts. Really practical, really direct, really like, oh, we've got an answer for people. Keely Rankin is joining me. She is a sex coach in the Bay Area. And she has a protocol, really, a way through what is commonly referred to as premature ejaculation, but what we in the industry like to call either early or rapid ejaculation. So she describes this as really an anxiety response that comes in. And basically, if you're a man, you've got two choices at that point. It's either lose erection or orgasm. And it really robs you of pleasure and could certainly be impacting the sexual experience of your partner too, not so much because of how long you last or don't last, but because of the distraction and the distress and then the shame that it tends to create. So Keely's talking about the phenomenon in general, the typical approaches and why those might not have worked if you've tried some things about this, and then her five-step approach to really tackling this. And as she says, and it's so hopeful, it's totally curable. It just might take some time. So really good news. There's something you can do about this. So I hope that this will be useful to either you or somebody you know if this comes up in their lives. And before we start the show today, it is sponsored by Intimacy with Ease. It's a method to help otherwise happy couples achieve a sex life that is easy and fun for both of them so that you can actually just enjoy your sex life with zero stress. For more information, if you want to watch a brief little training video that's available, all of that, go to intimacywithease.com. Keely, thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here with you, Jessa.
So maybe as just a start, you could talk a little bit about your role as a sex coach before we jump into how you might help people with premature or rapid ejaculation, you know, before we get specific. So
yeah, so the way that I talk about my work is that I'm very somatically oriented. So for folks who don't know what that word means, it just means body-based. So I believe in working through the body, listening to the body, helping people learn to feel their bodies more deeply and understand what their body's trying to communicate with them. And it directly lends itself to all of this rapid, premature ejaculation, early ejaculation stuff for sure.
Yeah. And how would you describe the difference between being a sex coach and then being a sex therapist like I am? Is there a difference in the work, or is it just a matter of the training?
You know, I would say everyone who practices slightly different, of course, right? I would say in general, a sex coach, in my opinion, is slightly more... Well, again, and this is a very broad sweep because I know lots of sex therapists do this too, but it's more of a like direct experience of sort of helping people have better sex as opposed to necessarily going into all of the trauma work or all of the deeper layers of the emotional pieces that might be under there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like I tell my clients, like we do experientials in my sessions together. So we'll actually go into the place of pleasure. Like if I'm doing couples work with someone, we may have one partner touching the other partner. And part of my training is to see like what happens in the couple when one person touches the other. Does the person touching freeze? Does the person being touched freeze? Like what is happening in that moment that's making it really difficult for them to connect erotically?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that's a good difference because in sex therapy, that never happens in the office. Just so we're
clear. Of course not. Yeah. Well, because it's outside the governing licensing board of what
exactly.
supposed to be doing.
All right. So let's talk a little bit then about specifically about PE. First, how do you even define it? Like, I know what the diagnostic manual sort of says, but like in your mind, what's it mean to actually have, what's premature? you know?
Yeah. So I actually have taken away the term premature. I use it online because it's, you know, part of the way Google helps people find me, but I talk right. about it actually as early ejaculation.
Okay.
And I really think about it as somebody who's coming into an erotic experience, a man who's coming into erotic experience and is feeling anxious about how long they're going to last. Now, sometimes that's just a course correction of like, buddy, you're lasting like 10, 15 minutes. You're good.
Right.
I see you're anxious. Let's talk about why you're anxious, but actually your body's okay.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's, I'm ejaculating before my pants even come off. So there's a huge spectrum of people that I've worked with. And so some of it is just education around what's normal, what's to be expected. And a vast majority of people are actually truly struggling with kind of what I think of as an anxiety response to arousal. It's like the body starts to become aroused and the nervous system becomes flooded and you've got two options. You either lose your erection or you go right into orgasm.
And either one could happen, really, right?
Yeah. And I think of when I talk about early ejaculation, I talk about it as like severe, moderate, and mild forms. And the severe is this sort of back and forth between like, sometimes it looks like ED, sometimes it looks like early ejaculation. And that's kind of like, so sometimes people get confused and they'll go to the doctor and they'll say like, oh, well, I'm losing my erection.
Yeah.
It's actually an anxiety response.
Right.
And the body's just trying to figure out how to get out of this very stressful experience that they're having.
So it sounds to me like early ejaculation is less about how many minutes somebody's going to go and more about, is it being driven by anxiety or is it being driven by pleasure? Right.
Exactly. And, you know, the piece when it's driven by anxiety is oftentimes it's not pleasurable. Like the man doesn't feel like their orgasms are pleasurable. They don't feel like the experience is pleasurable. They're kind of wrapped around this fear of like, is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? Is my partner going to be upset? Are they going to get mad or feel let down? Am I going to be embarrassed? And so that after it happens, after the orgasm happens, oftentimes there's a big disconnect that happens too. That person goes away emotionally, wants out of the room, wants out of the experience because the shame comes on so heavily. So it's really like the whole arc of the erotic experience, like the beginning of sex, the date, you know, the date and the kissing before clothes comes off is stressful because they're worried about what's going to happen when their clothes comes off. They start exploring, it's stressful because they're like, oh my gosh, how long am I going to last? And then after they ejaculate, that shame wave comes on and they disconnect.
Right. And this would be a big reason from my perspective why people start to avoid sex too.
Yes.
Right. To avoid intimacy. Huge. Because holy cow, I'm setting myself up to feel like I'm failing again.
Huge.
Right. Or I'm going to let my partner down or something.
Huge. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I've even worked with folks, you know, that they're suicidal. They've moved home with their parents, have stopped dating altogether. Like it's actually hugely, hugely impacts people's experience of their value as a partner and a man in the world, actually. Mm-hmm.
Where does this anxiety start? I mean, I suppose there's lots of answers to that because there's lots of people, but I mean, does it start mostly with worry about how long I'm going to last in the first place? Or does it start with any anxiety? And then, you know what I mean?
It's such a good question. It's always the question clients want to know too. Like, how did I get here? I sort of liken it to the question of like the chicken or the egg. It's like, it's hard to know. For some people, there's a really clear path. Like we can trace it back. We can find out it was happening from their very first erotic experience. Their first erotic experience was very stressful. They've been masturbating. They've been caught. I mean, there can be traces back to actual events. But sometimes I think it can be more subtle, like how a person experienced their people around them inhabiting their bodies. And if just being in their body in general was sort of just an uncomfortable place, or it wasn't okay to experience pleasure, I think that's kind of the more subtle areas where this can start to pick up. And then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's like, this is going to happen to me. So then you're already in your head by the time you're thinking that. And then next thing you know, that nervousness pops in and there you go, back in that same experience.
Right. So it sounds like the anxiety could be about any number of things that are sort of sex related, not just about how long am I going to last or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Oftentimes that's kind of like the driver that makes the situation worse and worse, but it can really come in for any number of reasons.
Any anxiety door, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time when I work with people, they'll say like, wow, I didn't realize I'm anxious most of my life around most of the things happening in my world. So it actually spans out into the rest of their experience. Sometimes that's not true, but most of the time it is.
Huh. Interesting. And maybe they've become like they're unaware of even their anxiety in general. Like it's just so normal that they don't even realize that's what they're feeling.
Yeah. Like they don't know that they're always kind of clenching. Like I have a 5-step model that I work with people in. And the second one is sort of learning kind of what's happening in your anal sphincters and how to breathe into your asshole and how to release that area. And oftentimes people will be like, wow, I'm clenching there all the time. And I didn't even know it, which is fascinating.
So what percentage of the people that you see or work with have had anxiety for whatever reason in these erotic experiences, like from the beginning or really early on? Or is it frequent that it shows up in midlife or something?
That's a really interesting question. You know, I'm not exactly sure. I'd say maybe like 50-50.
Okay.
Like sometimes it's there right from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, no matter what age someone is coming in at, whether that's 25, 35, or 55, or, you know, even older, it's like, sometimes it's like, yes, every erotic experience, maybe there could be like small gaps where there wasn't as much nervousness around how quickly they would come. But often, I mean, sometimes it can also just come on later in life. Like something's happening in the relationship. Someone's feeling a lot of pressure around sex. Next thing you know, that's how the body starts to respond. And then we're off to the races. And
right. Is there anything else that we should address about early ejaculation in general before we start talking about what in the world do people start to do about this?
I guess one of my most important, I think the most important message I have for people is that this is a treatable experience. Because a lot of times by the time people find me, they're kind of like, this is the last straw. I've given up on everything. I've looked online and it hasn't helped me, which is like, yeah, of course not. That's kind of how, unfortunately, how it works a lot of the time. Taking random advice from people you don't know is not always the best place to find it. But I guess my biggest piece is to kind of normalize early ejaculation. The statistics say 1 in 3 men experience early ejaculation. I think that's like in their lifetime, they experience it. But it's something that is workable, is 100% curable. You're not broken. You know, you don't have to live like this. And it does take some time to cure.
Okay. Before we go to your system, because I want to make sure we talk about all 5 steps, but maybe you don't, there's nothing you want to say about this, okay. But are there conventional treatments for early ejaculation that you don't like or disagree with or fail, you know, because you're saying people, by the time they come to you, they've probably tried some stuff, right? Is there anything you want to say specifically about some conventional approaches and why those might not work for at least for everybody?
Yes. Well, I would love to speak to the one that you're supposed to think about something not sexy during sex.
Yeah, right.
That one drives me completely wild because it's like, if you're not going to be present during the experience, what are you doing there?
Like, yeah.
Your partner doesn't want you checking out and thinking about baseball during the experience. And so the idea of kind of trying to trick yourself or trying to move yourself into another space versus being with what's happening, I think, and also for most people who are struggling with any level, like, you know, more severe level of this, it that doesn't work at all. And so it can often feel like a big letdown. The other piece that I'm really want people to know to stop doing if they're struggling with early ejaculation is strengthening their Kegel muscles. For some reason, I'm not sure why this happened, but everyone started strengthening their Kegel muscles when they were struggling with early ejaculation. And what I found is that the pelvic floor is completely overly tense. Like I was talking about.
I was going to say, it's already tense, right? It's already clenched. We don't hyper-toned muscles.
Exactly.
There.
Exactly. 100%. So there's a lot of like, oh, practice your PC muscles and that will help you have more control. And that somehow you could tighten and that would stop the ejaculate. You know, somewhere down the road, yes, in the multi-orgasmic man, they talk about that, but that is a whole different experience than the body's experience of early ejaculation. And so just stop with all the Kegel muscles and try and relax as often as possible.
Yeah. And do you have any thought, and again, maybe you don't, but do you have any thoughts about people using either SSRIs or a numbing spray? Because those are also sort of end of the line, like, oh gosh, you run out of options. Try one of these.
Yeah. My favorite was when Trojan contacted me to do an interview about the numbing spray. And they were like, would you recommend this to your clients? I'm like 100% no. The reason is, so the SSRIs are really interesting. I once had a client I was working with who was taking, he would actually take a tranquilizer and then time it with an erectile dysfunction pill. So he was, yeah, it was very
interesting. I'm trying to put that together in my mind.
So he would trank his body basically. And then like, I can't remember what the time frame was.
Put the rest of him to sleep, but keep his penis awake.
Yes. And it was a very interesting, it was a doctor in the South Bay that had prescribed this to him. And I thought it was a really interesting method. He was coming to me because this was working, but he wanted to learn a natural way where he didn't have to time it and always be taking these drugs. But it was interesting because it worked for him, which was great. I don't know if it would work for everyone, but it was really interesting. And then the SSRI one is really interesting too. So the SSRIs, for people who don't know, is essentially you're taking an antidepressant. And sometimes the side effect of that is it can be difficult to orgasm. And I can't remember, I mean, maybe you know the exact percentage of people. I think it's like 30% of people would have difficulty orgasming. So sometimes that works. A lot of times it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And so people are now taking antidepressants and still coming really quickly. People can start to feel, I think, really, again, disappointed, like there's nothing I can do. There's something really wrong with my body, even though that is just a side effect of an SSRI, actually.
Yeah.
So a lot of people who come to see me are like, I don't want to take pills, or I've tried them and they don't work. So, and the numbing cream, I should go back to why I don't like the numbing cream, is it's sort of, again, that like taking pleasure away. Trying to numb pleasure.
Trying to minimize the pleasure as a way to extend the experience or something.
Yeah. And it also doesn't address the anxiety piece, right?
Right.
You know, sometimes there is an oversensitivity. It often can happen right around the head of the cock. Like when that area gets stimulated, the nervous system can panic or move right into orgasm. And that's what the numbing cream would be essentially used for, is if you're having kind of like one specific spot that's creating that like, ooh, feeling inside of you. But is it sustainable to always reach for that? And also you need to make sure you're wearing a condom too. Otherwise it's going to numb your partner, which is a big part to consider also.
Yeah.
So I normally always steer my clients away from that and teach them actually how to integrate that spot, that particular spot that might be on their cock that's creating that feeling, and learn how to relate to it versus trying to numb it out.
Hi, it's Jessa here, taking just a quick break. Thanks for listening so far. I wanted to let you know about the sex quiz that I've put together called How Healthy Is Your Sex Life? I've taken a close look at the typical ways that I see couples get into trouble with sex, including avoidance, neglect, negativity, distraction, and boredom. And the free quiz will score your individual results based on these factors. And then I provide my recommendations and ideas, including my top 10 sex tips, which will help you make instant improvement. If you'd like to take the quiz and see how healthy your sex life is, you can do it right now at sexhealthquiz.com. All right. So let's talk about your approach here.
Yeah.
So what do people, you know, because I love that you said this is totally curable, which is.
Yes, it is.
So let's share the good news. What's the basic outline of the approach that people can use?
So the very basic outline is there's five steps. The first step is breath. And essentially, it's learning how to breathe into your body to start to be more aware of what's happening. And really what that's about is being able to start to track where you are in your, which these will come up in a little bit, but where you are in your anxiety curve and where you are in your arousal curve. But also it's sort of like telling the body everything is okay. When we say one consistent slow breath, if you think about when you get scared, you instantly like breathe in and hold your breath. So this is sort of helping the body learn everything is okay. I'm here. Nothing's going to happen, and really making room. The second step is learning the anal breath. So when anybody moves into orgasm, your sphincters tighten, your whole pelvic floor will tighten, and it will pulse, right? So if anyone's ever had their finger inside someone's ass when they orgasm, or of course, inside of a vulva, right, you can feel the pulsing that happens. Most men don't know that this is necessarily happening to them because I haven't explored their assholes very much. But essentially, if we can help that whole area stay soft and open and relaxed, and we can learn what I call the anal breath, which is being able to breathe into the asshole and actually releasing, then we can move down the arousal curve away from the higher states of arousal. So the third one is actually learning where you are on your arousal curve. So it's sort of like in your body, knowing where you are. I think of it as an imaginary scale from 1 to 10. So 1 is I'm interested in having sex, but not really much is happening in my body yet. And 9 is the point of no return, and 10 is orgasm. It's a learning where are you in your arousal. And oftentimes what happens is men who struggle with early ejaculation go 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 9. Like it just jumped
right
into that 9, the point of no return, and then 10. And so really helping people learn how to feel that, and simultaneously learning that as you learn that arousal curve, learning what's happening in your anxiety curve, because oftentimes those two get married together. As arousal builds, anxiety just goes right along with it. And so by the time you're crossing over the 4 or 5 in arousal, you're crossing over 4 or 5 in anxiety, which is putting you, your body essentially into almost like a trauma-like response. And there's no relationship anymore. Your system goes into the fight or flight, goes into survival mode. That's where we get that. Yeah, either we move right to orgasm.
I can sort of imagine tracking where I am in an arousal curve. Uh-huh. How does somebody know where they are on an anxiety curve?
Yeah, that's the more tricky part. So that's where that first step of breath comes in, is like being able to learn what's happening. And so it requires a lot of slowing down, checking in, noticing, okay, where do I feel tension? Where do I feel something tightening, something bracing, something holding, something sort of like sneaking in, ready to like grab me? So again, when I was mentioning earlier, like the process takes time. A lot of it is just simply learning how to feel our bodies, really. And what we're trying to do is separate that anxiety curve from the arousal curves. The arousal can go and do whatever feels pleasurable, and the anxiety can bottom out and not necessarily be a part.
Okay.
And the fourth step is learning to surf the sweet spot. So learning to surf the sweet spot is really combining this second step and being able to be in higher arousal. So the second step is that anal breath. So essentially, it's being able to feel your arousal, go up into higher states, notice when you feel like you might be getting high, that's creating a little tension, and turning towards that anal breath and breathing down the body. So that's where really learning how to tune into that back pelvic floor, softening, releasing. And normally, like I talk about mastery of that particular skill is 3 breaths into your asshole, still with sensation on your cock, and being able to move down the arousal curve 2 levels, which oftentimes is sort of like a reset where people feel like, okay, yeah, I've got this. Like if I went from an 8 to a 6, it's like, okay, I'm back at a 6, I'm good. And then they can keep going. But at first, it takes often a lot of time for people to learn how to come back down the arousal curve, because often early ejaculators are just going right through.
Yeah, it's one direction,
right? It's one direction, yeah. Where what's more true with a lot of men's experience is that, you know, arousal comes and goes. And if you're not struggling with early ejaculation, you know that. Like, oh yeah, I get hard and then I lose my erection and I go up and then I come down and I get close and I come away, right? And so it's really helping to teach the body that it can move into this state of up and down.
I would imagine that mastery would also potentially involve, wow, I want to hang at a 6 or a 7 or an 8. Like I can pick, I can dial in where I want to hang out, right?
Yeah. That mastery is like, because sometimes what's really interesting is men learn to come down, they can't figure out how to get back up because they actually never learned to relate to pleasure. They just learned this one track thing of moving up. So it's always a really interesting experience, I think, for men to move through this and to really start to understand, like, what is arousal? What is my pleasure? How do I let it be in my body? And how do I learn about going back up the arousal curve? Which is great.
Yeah.
And then the fifth step is learning to spread the erotic energy through the whole body. So it's not having this over focus on just what's happening in the cock. It's like, how do we let that energy move through? So it's the invitation into a more full body orgasm for a man. I think women it's not that we don't need an invitation, but there's so much more freedom around our pleasure, I think, because we don't have as much pressure to get hard and stay hard and don't come, but come now. And there's just like so much happening in it. There's so much pressure in how I should specifically mention heterosexual dynamics. There's so much pressure on men.
Yeah.
So that permission to sort of relax and really let the energy, the pleasure that's building in the cock move through the system, which is another layer of relaxation and another layer of sort of inhabiting the body and integrating the pleasure in.
Yeah. Now, something that occurs to me, since I work only with couples in my sex therapy practice, how much of this is done in like solo sex and solo exploration or with somebody who's single versus like what needs to happen to actually be able to do this in the presence of a partner? You know, like where's the individual versus the couples work on?
Yeah. So number one, this is mostly an individual practice.
Okay.
Actually, it's something that I talk about it as like building a house. And so the first part is clearing the land, which is just getting the knowledge and starting to understand this theoretically. Then the first phase is the foundation. I know this is not actually how you build a house exactly.
But yeah, somebody's listening and going to go, wait, where's the septic?
You don't know how a house is being built. Yeah, I know this, but this is just for visual purposes. So it's like we clear the land, we get everything ready, and then we start with the foundation, which would be through self-pleasuring. And really taking these steps in and working with them until there is a sense. And in my online course, I go over actually really specifically, like before you move on to the next chapter, this is exactly what you need to be able to do. Do not move on until you can do these things. Because what happens is very commonly with people who struggle with early ejaculation is there's this huge rush. And I get it. It's like, please, I want to taste that nectar. I don't want to feel this anxiety anymore. Like, let's get this over with. But the trouble is that type of energy that you bring just exacerbates the problem and puts a ton of pressure. So it's getting this solid foundation, which is really being able to feel your arousal up to a level of a 6 without the anxiety. That's really kind of like that first step of the foundation. And also really starting to be able to go up and down the arousal curve. So learning that anal breath, learning how to drop yourself down, even if you're coming down more than 2 levels, even if you're flying back down to a 1, just learning how to come back down and move back into it. Then the next part is what I call putting the walls on, which would be integrating movement, integrating noise, more opening of the eyes, potentially bringing porn back in, maybe bringing a sex toy back in, and getting up into those higher states of arousal and being able to stay with it. So there's this sense of like, okay, we've got the foundation. Now we're adding in more kind of stimulation, more like exciting pieces. And then the last phase would be bringing another person into the experience. So that would be, I talk about it as like putting the roof on. So even if your roof falls in a couple times or a bunch of times, we still have this solid foundation and these solid walls to keep going back to. And so if you have a really wonderful partner that wants to participate, you can absolutely include them in your self-pleasuring, having them there. You can absolutely do body work. If your partner knows anything about body work or wants to touch you in this experience, of course, it would require a lot of communication and then probably taking the course along with you so they know what they're looking for. But in terms of things starting to change, until you really have a solid foundation and a sense of how to be with exciting erotic energy with a connection to your body, it's unrealistic to expect that anything will shift in any meaningful way.
Yeah. Because what comes to me is that for plenty of people, it's not a problem when they're alone. The anxiety is specifically related to either pleasing their partner or impressing their partner, avoiding the tears or the anger or whatever, right? Like it's not exactly their partner's fault, but it's partner related. So alone, but I don't know that they would have had that fine-tuned control and, you know, in tune with their body alone that they need to do this with a partner, right?
The great news is if someone can have control alone and if someone could do all these steps alone with no problem, integrating a partner is easy. That is, if anyone tells me that, I'm like, great, we are 700,000 steps ahead.
So somebody who says, but wait, I never have a problem when I'm masturbating. That's not really the point. It's like, you need that kind of mastery and control in your masturbating if you're going to be able to bring that into a partnered experience.
And the good news is if that's true, if they can control when they're masturbating, that's fantastic because they know something about feeling arousal in their body.
Yeah.
they have an actual tangible experience of holding arousal. It's much more difficult to help people understand how to feel that from nothing versus from something. So that would just be, yeah, that becomes much more of a, what happens when another person's with you? What, you know, let's talk, the pressure that people put on themselves, that becomes more of kind of like the dance of looking at, like, what's the anxiety about? And how do we start to be with anxiety in those moments?
So let's talk briefly about a partner to somebody who's struggling with this. First of all, your thoughts on what do people do that are making this worse? I mean, I certainly have ideas, but sometimes the partner is really not helping. And how can the partner be more helpful? Or maybe talk to their partner about, you know, this has been on my mind. I'd like this to be something you address. Like, how can they bring this up?
Yeah. Well, I will say for people who struggle with early ejaculation because of the shame, it is often a very, very private struggle and a very embarrassing struggle. And so it is really important if you're a partner to someone that even if the person that you're with is acting like they're tough and they don't care, there is a part of them that 100% cares. And it is very, very, I've never actually experienced it where the person was trying to come quickly. And so sometimes I can, when I've worked with couples, the partner's really angry, like, you're doing this on purpose. And I think it's super, super important to realize, like, this is 100% not on purpose. Like, this person is not trying to sell themselves short. They're not trying to put themselves into almost a, you know, panic state. They're not trying to not enjoy their orgasm. Right. Because oftentimes when you come that quick, it's not pleasurable. And so my biggest advice is like, yeah, let's start communicating around it. If it feels difficult to communicate, there's lots of help out there through professionals to be able to start to talk about it. And to begin to communicate it in a way that isn't about more pressure, that's about lessening the pressure while still including pleasure. Because I think sometimes what can happen is like, oh, I don't care that you come really quickly, which is really minimizing it. Because even if you're not super into penetration sex, or you're totally fine if when you give your partner a blowjob, they come right away because you feel really powerful, they're probably most likely inside of your partner is a desire to be able to feel their pleasure more fully.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so minimizing it and saying like, I don't care. Well, it can feel like the right thing to say. It's the real right thing to say is like, I really care about your pleasure. Let's talk about what feels good for you. Let's talk about how we can help you get to a place where we can relate more with pleasure together. I'm curious what you're thinking.
No, I mean, I think the same thing. I think if partners pressure each other in some way with all this disappointment, and you've let, even if you don't say it, you let me down, and there's tears or there's anger or there's, you're doing this on purpose or whatever, all of that is just piling on to the anxiety that somebody already feels.
Absolutely.
And I love the idea of just centering pleasure. It's not about your performance. It's about, I want you to be present and enjoying what we're doing together. And so.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So would you talk about your online course? Like, what do you have available for people and how do people find that?
Yeah. So I have a course specifically geared towards premature ejaculation or early ejaculation, and it covers everything that I've learned over the last 10 years. I started getting so many people wanting help and I realized like, oh, actually, there's a pretty streamlined fashion of how to treat this. And so I put it all into a 12-part course that you can find online, which is on my website, which is keeleyrankin.com, KeeleyRankin. And you can find that course there. And it's, you know, essentially like over 10 years of kind of working with different men and really basically throwing everything I had and different ideas at this, how to work with this, I found a pretty clear path through. And so almost everything I know is in there. And I've been getting great, great feedback from people all over the world, which is wonderful. All sorts of different countries emailing me, which has been really fun. So.
Cool. Well, we'll have the link in the show notes too, so people can look you up and sign up.
Perfect.
Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jess. It was wonderful to be here and chat with you.
You've been listening to Better Sex. Please visit our website, bettersexpodcast.com, for show notes and additional episodes.
And that's a wrap for today. I really hope you enjoyed the episode. If you are enjoying the podcast, if some of this material resonates with you and you would like to make a difference and make sure that this keeps coming out in the world once a week, ongoing, there are a couple things you could do to show your appreciation. The first would be to go to iTunes and rate and review the show. That really helps us be found by new listeners when you review the show on iTunes. You can find a link at bettersexpodcast.com/iTunes. The other thing I want to invite you to consider is becoming a Patreon. For a small monthly pledge, you get some benefits. So for $2 a month, you get advance access to every single episode. For $5 a month, you get a chapter of my upcoming new book. And for $10 a month, I host quarterly get-to-know-you and question-and-answer chats over the web, and you get invited to that. I would love to have your membership in that become part of the Better Sex family. You can find a link at bettersexpodcast.com/Patreon, which is P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Again, thanks for listening. I'm glad you're here. Feel free to comment, ask questions, get in touch. I'd love to hear from listeners. Thanks.